Blog Talk Radio.
And I won't be made to ever feel ashamed that I'm American made.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Assignment America Radio Show. I'm your host, Betty Kilbride. A lot going on today. I have an amazing guest by the name of Pam Hayes coming on the show shortly, and then a major announcement on the second half of the show. I'm really, really, really excited about this announcement, and I can't wait to tell you all about it. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Pam Hayes. She is a civilian, first and foremost. She's a woman who was an inspiration to us all, someone who was in a traumatic motorcycle accident, suffered a traumatic brain injury, almost died, wasn't able to communicate properly. You know, every one of us, you know, we're taught when we're young children how to speak and how to walk and how to, you know, hold a fork and a knife and a spoon, you know, and on her honeymoon, she winds up getting into a motorcycle in the Blue Ridge Mountains of West Virginia and ends up in the hospital. For the next few years, she is dealing with relearning the basics of life, how to speak, how to talk, how to think, how to use her hands, how to use her legs, how to even move. You know, I couldn't even fathom having to go through something along that lines. I know a lot of people who have been through that. Majority of them, 99% of them, veterans. You know, having to relearn everything after an IED accident or, you know, being injured on the battlefield. But people don't realize that traumatic brain injury does not just happen to those in the military. It happens to those in the civilian world, too, based on, you know, bad accidents, you know, freak accidents that you'd never even think of. But Pam persevered. And what she realized when she started to rebuild her life was that she could relate to those who were dealing with traumatic brain injury on the battlefield or from the battlefield. And her story is amazing. I spoke to her briefly the other day, you know, and, you know, she's a life integration coach as a result of her injuries. She learned a lot, you know, dealing with traumatic brains, you know, brain injuries. One of the major things that people don't understand is when you go through something like that, there is a connection because you can relate and understand the frustration that a veteran is going through in having to deal with the same thing because they think they're going crazy. They think that, you know, they're being accused of something and that and they're dealing with the trauma. And as a result of all of that connection, majority of the time, veterans will turn around and give up because they're not getting any help from the VA. They're not getting any help from the community. People in their family, their loved ones don't understand what's going on. They're frustrated. And this leads, unfortunately, to a lot of the suicides that we're seeing throughout the country, not to mention, you know, the drugs and the medication that they're being prescribed by the VA, which isn't helping the situation. But this amazing woman in 2009 created an organization, a nonprofit organization called the Arms Forces, TheArmsForces.org. And I got to tell you, I went through her website the other day. She takes no federal funding, by the way. She refuses to take any federal funding. people wind up donating money to her, to this organization, because they're filling a need that other major nonprofit organizations are not filling. It's called a one-on-one with the veteran. One veteran, one community at a time is their motto. And she's going to explain what that means once she comes on the air in about 5 minutes. But, you know, I deal in the nonprofit world every day of my life, and I have for the last 20-some-odd years. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've seen a lot of major nonprofits out there getting donations of millions of dollars based on a name and their mission. But in essence, their mission is faltered, you know, and it's devoid of what the real reality is of what our veterans need. You know, there's organizations out there that are getting millions and millions of dollars in endowments, you know, and they're investing their money in Caribbean island resorts. You know, they're putting their money into futures because they're thinking that, hey, they need to wind up having 5, 10, 15, 20 years worth of excess operational funding. Here's a woman who is running an organization, a very successful organization, with nothing. She doesn't take a salary, which majority of the mom and pop shops that I have uncovered, they don't take a salary. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. These individual little mom-and-pop shop nonprofits are the ones that are doing the most work for our veterans. They're doing the most healing for our veterans. And what's ironic is they're actually uncovering a lot of the issues that our veterans and our military and their families are suffering with. You know, I am privileged to be on the board of directors and also advisor to multiple nonprofits. There isn't a week that goes by that I don't get a phone call from one of the organizations or a representative from one of the organizations that I support, you know, asking me my advice on what should I do about this or should we do this or what do you think about that? Can we do this legally? Can we not do it? Believe me, I got the answers, and I help out a lot of them. When I wound up first hearing about Pam a couple of years ago, I've been watching it because I'm always very curious about new nonprofits that pop up. What's their mission? What's their purpose? Are they legitimate? Let me tell you something. Pam Hayes is legitimate. She's very direct. She's got a passion for our military, for those who have traumatic brain injuries. Far more than I've seen of any other organization, probably because of the fact she is a traumatic brain injury sufferer. You know, she probably still has the headaches. She probably still has her moments where she can't get up and do anything, just like everybody else with TBI. And yet she still does it. She's not one of those people that the phone rings and she's in a rush and she's saying, oh, I can only talk for 5 minutes. No, she will take the time. If a veteran calls her and needs to talk, she wants to hear their story. Because when they tell her their story, she can start deciphering out elements of that story to put the entire triangle together and connect the dots for them. She's helped many. Probably hundreds, maybe possibly even thousands, who knows? What most people don't realize in the philanthropy world, we help a lot of people. We never know what the outcome truly is. We know we help them. We help them with that one little tiny problem, and then they go on and do bigger and better things. So let me ask you this, ladies and gentlemen. If you have ever been helped by a nonprofit or by an angel that came into your life, pay it forward, just like what Pam is doing. Pay it forward. The knowledge that you have, you obtained from somebody who helped you, came into your life at the time that you needed them the most. I'm encouraging each and every one of you to not only listen to Pam's story when she comes on in a few minutes, but I want you to also think about your own life while you're hearing her story and hear about the amazing organization that she has created. Because I love to hear about these mom-and-pop shops. I love to highlight nonprofits on the show. But one thing that we forget, ladies and gentlemen, is to go back and thank that person. Let them know what happened. Or at least write up a story. Put it up on your Facebook page. Maybe they'll wind up seeing it one day. Or just reach out to that person and say, you know, you don't realize I was down on my luck. I was down on my knees. I was praying to God to wind, you know, to give me something to help me. And I was introduced to you. You said something. You did something. You encouraged me. I didn't think about it at the moment. But when the time was right, that information popped into my head again. And you set me on a path to my own personal salvation. And it wasn't a religious calling, but in fact, it truly was, because the man upstairs gave you that angel, for that angel to help you. And in many veterans' eyes and hearts and souls, right now, Pam Hayes is that guardian angel coming into their life to help them define the problem, find solutions. She doesn't just turn around and go, okay, make a phone call here, make a phone call there. She makes the phone calls for them, finds out exactly what has to be done. She's gone in front of the VA. She's actually, you know, been an advocate from the VA to help veterans get their claims put through. She's helping a couple of soldiers right now for me. And I'll tell you right now, they're coming back going, wow, what a guardian angel you sent me. I didn't send her. You know, I just put the plea out on my Facebook page, and guess what? Pam jumped up to the plate and said, hey, I can help. Let me know what I can do. I'll be willing to talk. There's not many people, ladies and gentlemen, that will do that, but Pam Hayes will. Ladies and gentlemen, I am extremely honored, proud, and humbled that Pam has got the time today to actually spend time with us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Pam Hayes to Simon D'America Radio Show. Pam, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here with you and with all your listeners and spread the good news about our veterans.
Yeah, most definitely. You are a traumatic brain injury survivor, as I explained in the setup to the show here. Give us more of a little bit of a history of that. How long did it take you to go through rehab and all?
Well, I guess the real issue is that after being life flighted, after flying 20 feet off the back of a motorcycle to a major medical center, after 3 days I was let go and told nothing was wrong but a spot of blood on my brain. So it was when I got home that I was near death when I got to the ER a few days after that, and my brain was bleeding and swelling, and they said, yeah, I had 24 hours to live. And then it took a couple months of some physical therapy for all my, what I was saying were my back issues, and being on treadmills and Stairmasters, et cetera, and then, you know, practically begging to get tested again, and then that's when they found that I had 2 skull fractures, 2 neck fractures, and 9 back fractures. So by the time
Holy
a lot
Batman.
Of that, yeah, Oof. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. But you know what? I'm alive today, and, you know, though I have many challenges, I am so grateful that not just to be alive, but to really be able to be a mom and to be a grandma and a friend and, you know, to help all these veterans and their families and to hopefully be an inspiration to other people that no matter how dark it gets, there's light. Got to find it sometimes and work hard, but it's there.
That's very true. That's very true. Tell me more about this organization that you have created and what your goals and aspirations are and your mission.
Sure. Well, and, you know, just the name alone, the Armed Forces, you know, even the DOD called me in 2010, about 6 months after I started, and said, we just wanted to make sure you weren't trying to be us. And I said, no, I'm just kind of happy you know about me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the armed forces means, basically, I always say that the armed forces carry guns, we hug people, and that's even our logo represents that with the 2 figures about the community being the red and the blue being the military, and you can see that online, but of lifting up our veterans, and that's what we want to do. At first, it started off solely on my own adversity of what I had been going through for 9 years post-injury and not being able to do a whole lot, learning to walk and read and all that again. And my reading still, even to this day, isn't nearly what it was before. But I went online in 2002, which is about 2 years after my injuries, to research brain injury because it was the only topic that I was really interested in. I thought maybe it helped me learn to read. And for some reason, being online, which I had never been on before, helped me. So then I got the calling. It was like 2009. I mean, I kept reading for about 16 hours a day. And then in 2009, I just really prayed a lot and said, God, I don't want my legacy to be only the brain-injured woman. What more do you got for me there, you know? And I'll be darned if he didn't put military on my heart. And I honestly yelled out, I think you made your first mistake, God, because I had no clue what to do. But I knew, though, that I was a brain injury survivor, and that had to be the connection because I had been reading when I went online about brain injury and military. And then it started at Fort Campbell. You know, I got some of the veterans, they let me come in and talk to, or not veterans, but some of the soldiers, they let me come in and talk to some of the soldiers who had brain injury and family members, and they cried with me. You know, a couple of them told me, I feel like you're my Army buddy, which is still to this day the best compliment I've ever received. Yep. And they didn't show any signs of stigma, though I had read a lot about it. So I figured that what we needed to do at the Armed Forces was really get to the heart of the matter. We needed to get to a place where other services just weren't getting. And I knew what I didn't want to do, Betty. I did not want to be the one that just handed out a check and said good luck. Yeah. Because I knew that that seldom ever really gets to the root of the problem. And then next month and next week and next month and next week, you got the same issues.
True.
So we just started with that, and then once I put a message out on Facebook, which I had no idea what Facebook even was at the time, it was amazing what opened up and how many people came and how many people wanted to learn more, civilian and veteran. And then veterans all around the country really helped me form the program because I said, there's a need in California that sounded just like that need in New York, that sounded like that need in Iowa, that sounded like the need in Florida, and you realize that we're all just human beings trying to make a life, and especially the ones we work with, are we're trying to make a life with invisible wounds of traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress. So instead of looking what's different between us, because I've never served in that war, my veterans, many, many, many of them have said to me, but you serve in the war now, the same war that we're fighting to live a life with brain injury. And that is what always has me connected to the veterans. And the focus is that it's not about what we have that's different, because I never served in war. It's about what do we have that's the same, and how can two individual human beings reach out to each other and help each other along the path. Simple as that.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, you know, tell me this. I mean, because, I mean, I know a lot about traumatic brain injury just from reading and stuff, but, you know, I've never had one. At least I don't think I have one. you know, I've been very lucky, you know, being a biker chick. I've never fallen off the back of the bike or got into an accident, knock on wood, that it never happens. But what is the, you know, what is the normal, not even the normal, I can't even ask that. What would be the connection? What kind of issues does somebody with a TBI have? I mean, I know there's memory loss, frustration with that, speech impediment or something along that line. What is there a commonality somewhere along the line that you've come up with?
Right. Well, if you're going to talk about, like, the most famous symptoms that everybody wants to talk about who says they know about brain injury and they throw these words out, you know, fatigue is one that's very common across brain injury. You know, forgetfulness is one, disorganization is one. But there's more to it. There is, and sometimes it's extremely hard to put in words, especially with people who aren't a survivor. If I would say certain things sitting across, you know, sharing a pizza with a veteran to get to know him or him and his wife or her and her husband or whatever, they get it because they're survivors, and it's the nuances and the little things that happen daily that if you told someone, they'd say, well, that really isn't that big of a deal. Or they would say, well, I get that once in a while. Yes, we understand because we were pre-TBI people once in our life, and we understand what it's like to not have a TBI. But now these little nuances are certainly more often, they're more pronounced. So, you know, when we say we get disorganized, it's different. It's like we, you know, I always say I have ping pong games of thoughts going on in my head at one time, you know, and there's people, I've always been that way. You know, I've always been a type A little bit personality and an idea person, right brain. But now I can't keep up with the balls. They're still going. But here's the other analogy, too, is that when I go to grab a ball and I think I finally have it, somehow or another, it, like, drifts off somewhere, and I can't find it again. And I can't quite find how to get focused on that again. So all those things that are nuances, and you know how I understand when brain injury gets it, because I'll sit down, and I would love to have counted, but I haven't, how many times would say, oh, my gosh, it feels so good to finally have somebody get me. I mean, almost those exact words, time and time again. Because it seems like we're always fighting, and I don't mean fighting, but I mean fighting within us, ourselves, to explain ourselves to people. Yeah. You know, people tell you, well, you look good. That becomes like a hurtful statement after a while. Because you want to say,
you might look good on the inside, but you're falling apart on the inside. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
we're good at, you know, a lot of us, and I would say most of brain injury survivors that I have met or worked with are very, very good at first, second, maybe even third impressions, especially if there's shorter periods of time. But if you put a video camera on a brain injured person that you thought didn't have a problem in the world, and you watch them through their daily life, I mean, it might take a day, put it on for a week, who cares, you would be amazed to see the difference. And that's where a lot of families end up seeing it. And there are things that are very hard to explain to a doctor. And they're very lonely.
Yeah.
I mean, at times it can be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not lonely
now.
I've got many people in my life.
I got a buddy of mine who's got a serious TBI. He's daily functioning, but, you know, him and I get on the phone and, you know, we're talking business and stuff, and he'll ask me a question about something, and, you know, at first it was like, you know, all right, write this down, and I start telling him, he can't keep up. So I have gotten to the point now that when he and I get on the phone, I actually turn my tape recorder on or put a headset on. I know I'm going to be talking to him about business, and I know he's going to ask me questions, so I put my headset on, and I actually hit record when we're on the phone, and I record the entire conversation now.
Sure.
And when it's over and done with, he'll be like, can you send me an email? No. I'm sending you an audio, so you can re-listen to it over and over and over again. And that actually has been helping him.
Great.
You know, I'll put
that's
it down
wonderful.
In writing.
Good for
but,
you for doing that as an as
yeah,
a
you know, because this way I know I don't have to repeat myself. Because
right.
it was getting
sometimes
a little frustrating there for a couple of phone calls. Because he
kept
asking
me the same
questions.
But, you know, as a survivor, I had to adapt everything like that. You know, it's like, you know, I just wrote an email this morning. It was going to be long anyway because instead of a meeting with a few people, I decided to just handle it in an email because it was easier. But I actually then I'm like, oh, since we're out in that city, did you ever go to Shadow Gardens? Because it's gorgeous. And, you know, I go, maybe we could stop there. Then I put, I digress, even in emails. And I put a smiley face because I know them real well. But that's just what happens. It's those squirrel moments. You know, I gave up. I was speaking at the Blue Star Moms conference this weekend. And there was a tiny little bug that flew across the screen. And, of course, I go, oh, my gosh, it's a bug, you know. And I laugh about it. And we laughed about it then, but... You know, sometimes that just happens. And, you know, I think humor and brain injury almost have to go side by side for people that are in our lives and for ourselves. Otherwise, you know, I was a very depressed woman for a long time, you know, trying to figure out this new P and Pam and trying to love her, you know. It's hard to love the new person you are. And if you can't love yourself, you can't go on to help other people. So... You know, I say that I had to bury myself. I had to really kind of bury the old Pam in order to appreciate the new Pam. And
that's
I wrote
wonderful.
An article
I
about
mean,
that on the Stages of Grief.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. And, you know, most people don't even realize that, you know, some kind of a traumatic event winds up making you redefine yourself. And you don't
and
have
a
clue.
That's the part that a lot of people aren't tended to. You know, a doctor...
Exactly.
A neurologist, you know, a great neurologist, and, you know, that I ended up going here because my accent was out of town, but after I got sent home and that, he said to me, well, we don't do brain transplants. You just got to learn to live your life, and that was it. And I know my very first thought was, live my life. I don't even know how to get out of your office. And that was true.
Oh, wow.
You know, I didn't know, you know, I still get lost in places like that. So, you know, it was very scary. And, you know, luckily I worked in vocational rehabilitation, at a mental health center here before. So that helped me because I learned how to break down jobs and, you know, baking, I always say, is what brought me back because it's I love to bake and I wouldn't give it up because I've given up too much. And it really helped me in a lot of ways. And if I didn't learn how to do that, I don't really think I'd be able to do what I do now. But yet, what I do now, and people look at that, I still could not hold down a regular job, 9 to 5. There's no way. I'm not that on every single day at every single time. And then there's the point of being on because you have to get up, put your, you know, we're ladies, so at least this lady has to put on her makeup and, you know, her clothes and all that stuff. And then it takes all your energy then and all your concentration that by the time you get out the door, you feel like you've worked half a day.
Yeah.
And day in, day out would be problematic. You know, we could do it for a week, but could we do it for a month or a year? You know.
I don't know.
And
that's when I came back from Iraq in 2006, I gave up with the pomp and circumstance. Take me as I am. That's all there is to it. If I don't feel like putting the makeup on that day, you don't take me as I am, guess what? You got more of a problem than I do.
I have reached that point, yeah, but good for you.
one of the things that I learned over in Iraq while I was there, talking to the guys, it's like, you know, I kept apologizing. Hey, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not all made up. And they're like, we really don't like that.
Yeah,
you know,
isn't that interesting? Yeah.
We want the real you, and you're showing us the real you. We don't care about the hair and the makeup. That's all the outside, glamour. But if you look good, you look good. But honestly, we just want what's on the inside. And I was like, you know, I'm hearing this from 20-year-olds. Why am I not hearing this from 40- and 50-year-olds?
Kind of goes back to what we're talking about the view that we have of ourselves from the inside out and people not seeing it, because we are visual people. I mean, humans are visual, and what they see is what they expect. So, you know, if you see someone, you know, like one of our veterans who is like me, who, you know, struggles and challenges, my brain injury was rated severe. And, you know, if you come into get a job and people think, wow, you know, you can interview real well and you can do everything, you know, you have a lot of maybe talents and gifts that you're using or have used in the past at jobs, but then you can't keep it up on a day, and they're like, how did that happen? How did that employee not do well? We had that in my town. There was $400,000 of grant money, and they served one veteran, and they got him employed, and he had to quit a week later. And I'm like, well, that doesn't surprise me at all. Because there weren't the right supports. Like, my son has brain injury from sports. And I said to him when we were in a rehab place, and I said, see that sign up there that says we serve people with disabilities, blah, 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 blah. I go, that means everybody but you, and get used to it in your life. Because they don't serve traumatic brain injury like they should. They serve, you know, they know, you know, the Department of Defense had me come a couple times and train at a huge facility in Columbus, Ohio. And one of the things they're like, we can make accommodations. We've been making accommodations, but we really don't understand what to do with people who have brain injury at the workplace. And it is some simple things, but it's very hard to work a traditional job with brain injury. I'm not saying it's not possible, but depending on what your problems are.
You know, the ADA law was not created for people with TBI. TBI was not even thought of when the Americans with Disabilities Act was actually enacted.
They should go back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should go back
because
and revise it.
Because the square buttons, I have a square one, but now they're the round ones that you push to allow a door to open for a wheelchair or with any other physical disability. I carry a square one that a construction guy gave me with me when I speak. And I talk about that. Where is the button for TBI? That button to open doors really isn't a big deal for people with TBI. What I want to know is when I go to even our own universities here, when I get directions of where to go because I'm speaking or have a meeting or something like that, there is like the worst signage in the world there. Mm-hmm. You know, just because somebody says it's in this building, how do you get to that building? Just because there's a name. And the maps online usually aren't good. Those are the things that someone with TBI would want to know. Because if you tell me to turn right at the next stop and then turn left, and go, I mean, I might not remember two steps. I definitely am going to have trouble remembering three steps. That has to all be written down. Now, some people are different, but there's a lot of us like that. So those types of compensations or whatever you want to say, call them, really don't exist very well in the TBI communities. And then we wonder why we have these issues with our veterans.
It's really not that much of a big deal to add the little steps. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm just getting used to GPS, for crying out loud, on the cell phone. And, I mean, sometimes it's very annoying, but at the same time, I don't have a TBI, but I'm very grateful that it gives me text as well as audio to follow the directions. You know, you're driving, you don't have time to be looking at, you know, directions. And even though you look at them and you try to memorize them before you get in the vehicle and drive down the road.
If Sally didn't talk to me, I'm lost.
I mean, although it's annoying, you know, make a right in 700 yards. What do I look like, a yardstick in my hand? Come on, give me a break. You know.
But I'm so grateful for it. And sometimes I panic if they don't say it early enough when I think I know what it's supposed to be because, you know, traveling out of town or whatever. But, you know, when I first started to travel a little more by myself, I would have to print it out, too, just as a security blanket because, for me, it's like, what if I push the wrong button on the GPS? What if I mess it up and can't get back there? Or what if my phone, you know, I started off with a regular GPS, but then on my phone. But everything is like, you think about everything a lot more, and that's one reason we get fatigued. Nothing is just like natural. We have to plan more, otherwise we live in a life of chaos. And that's one thing that is difficult for some veterans to get used to, too, is now that they're back and they don't have that military structure, they still need a lot of structure in their life.
Yeah.
You know, because structure is my friend. You know, when veteran's wife kept putting switched his underwear drawer in his shorts drawer because she just thought it was better to have one on top, that's a big no-no. You know how many times he'll open that drawer to get his shorts when he really wants underwear? So having that, you know, not that we all become OCD or anything, but structure really is our friend, and writing things down and notes and, you know, all of that. And a lot of people can't do all that on a phone. I just started to do a calendar on a phone, and I love it, but I'm still a paper and pencil kind of person, but I figured out
I am too. Technology is great, but I'm still old school. It's like, you know, technology will fail. Let me make sure I have my hard copy to back it up. So now,
I just like when people call and I'm taking notes, you know, I have a 3-ring binder with me. It's like on my hips. Maybe that's why my hips are big. No. But just kidding. But, you know, I keep that with me because for one thing I know is like, if I don't know where it's at, I know to look in the last binder I used, you know, and that's where I can keep it. I don't have all these little separate notes laying all around that, you know, really can get on my nerves. But
I could imagine.
Yeah, but I think,
What can my listeners do to help you? What kind of advice, what kind of assistance do you need? You know, where can they reach out to help you?
Sure. Well, always spreading the word about what we do, because I think that the more we understand that though we're pouring many, many, many millions of dollars into nonprofits across this country, even those that are just directed towards veterans, we are still missing the boat. We are still having so many fall through the cracks. And we believe at the Armed Forces it's because there's a menu of services. There's like, where do you fit into our organization, and then we can serve you after you make out 30 pieces of paper, where we have a much different approach. You know, we want to listen first, then we want to figure out how we can serve you without a menu by customizing what you need, and then our actions are based on your needs. So there really isn't anything. I mean, we've had a court martial canceled. I've testified at Camp Lejeune. We've had homeless have homes. We have marriages saved, and they went on to have babies. You know, we have a family program that, you know, many of them go through, and now we've added the PAWS Forces, our service dog program. We do a lot of education, and that is one way that the general public can help a lot is, you know, I have not been charging a fee, so I just like to go with a donation of my travel and my travel expenses, And if they want to make a donation to the nonprofit when they're there, when I'm there, that's fine. And I love to go and educate on brain injury. And from all my referral letters and people, many thousands who have come to my training, will say that it's not the same. Even the Department of Defense said, we've had 18 probably traumatic brain injury sessions, and we have not learned anything that you told us. Because I don't talk doctor speak. I talk real world.
Yeah.
You want to know if the person goes to the grocery store the night before, why they're tired when they get to work in the morning? I'll tell you why. You know? So that's one way, is to figure out where we can have more speaking engagements than that. And love to do that.
Good deal. Good deal. And you do this all pro bono. It's, there's no fees or anything involved. You know, and it's smart. I mean, I know I went broke, you know, years ago with, you know, being asked, can you come and speak? Can you come and speak? You're a powerful speaker. Well, yeah, I have no problem with that. I was paying for everything, airfare, hotel, car, you know, food, you know, everything. And all I got was a handshake and a thank you, which I had no problem with. But it gets to the point after a while, people need to realize that we need to get paid. Not in the essence of, you know, $300,000 to come and speak to your little group. But at least have the common decency and courtesy and respect for the person that you're doing. Before you invite, make sure that you wind up doing a little mini fundraiser within your own organization and say, listen, we're going to ask this person to take time out of their life, out of their work, to come and speak at our event. We should have at least the common decency and the common business practice to at least offer them. They can deny it, but we need to at least offer them to pay their round-trip airfare, you know, pay for their food, feed them while they're here, house them while they're here. Either let them bivouac at somebody's house or put them up at a hotel. And if we're not going to give them a car rental, then assign them somebody that they can wind up, pick them up at the airport, take them to the hotel, pick them up at the hotel, take them to the event, whatever the case may be, you know, and be there as a liaison. I mean, I've done that with people that have come into Washington, D.C. speaking. You know, and that's what needs to happen. Even
it
these
does.
Big
and,
nonprofits,
you know, the thing
even
is, too,
if they,
is that our passion is there, right? And that's what gets us, you know. I mean, I have gotten to the point where I do get expenses paid almost all the time, but not always. It depends if it's a small group of Blue Star Moms. I just don't, you know, feel right right now. But, you know, they want to donate in the future. That's one thing. But, you know, it's that our passion takes us so far, but there has to be, you know, funding to come in. I mean, I've not to this date ever taken a salary. As a matter of fact, I've put a lot of money into the organization to get it up and running at the beginning, you know. But my passion is so deep for our veterans and their family. It is so deep for traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress. And it's so deep that communities around the country, you know, I say one veteran, one community at a time. I don't care if you're working with 50 people, you still got to approach it as one veteran. Or if you're working with 50 communities, you got to approach it as one community at a time. Because that way you ensure that the services you're giving, whether it's individual or a community, are structured and work for that community. And I can't go, you know, the armed forces, you know, even if, I don't know, somebody gave us $1 million, I bet I could show them what could be done with $1 million compared to what some people do with 130 or whatever million. But I, because we've never gotten even, you know, we never even had to file a long form for the IRS and the amazing things that we've done. But it doesn't take, it takes money to run, but it doesn't take just money. It takes a lot of heart and a lot of vulnerability, because I've got to be, you know, we got to be vulnerable with these young men and women and not so young men and women that come to us, too, that have years of challenges. But if we
don't, that's very true.
We're creating another generation. We're creating another generation. We do a lot of speak in this country and not as much action anymore.
Yeah, very true.
Instead of spending money and raising, going to Congress and getting more money, I would hope that Congress would look at an organization such as the Armed Forces and look what's being done, because somehow or another, either physically or by design of that organization, the work has to happen in the community. I know people all around this country that have helped me, and organizations, because that's the research that goes into it to help our organization so that we can help the veterans in that community.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm just...
Well, Pam, I wish you all the best of luck. I want to keep in touch with you. I want you to have an open door to come back and be a guest on the show. Let us know what's going on, how we can help. Keep it up. I mean, you're an inspiration to us all.
Well,
a lot of
so
people don't realize how inspiration you really are.
Well,
a lot of vets out there probably want to say thanks, but they don't know how to say thanks. But just by spreading
the word. If they
want to
thank someone, then just, you know, give someone else a little lift up, you know. And I don't mean hand them $5 or $20 or whatever. Is give
no,
them a lift
forward.
Up. Let them know you're proud of them. Let them know that they have that there's hope out there, and there's help out there for them.
Very true.
It's there.
Very true.
Be the light.
Thanks
be
a lot,
light,
Pam. Very much appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Ladies
you have
and
a
gentlemen,
blessed day.
You too, darling. Thank you. Pam Hayes is, like I said, inspirational to us all. I know. I thought I was, you know, the only person out here that's a civilian that's working with the military and stuff. And there's thousands. Believe me, I know a lot of other civilians, especially civilian females, that actually have the passion for our military, our first responders that are dealing with so many issues. You know, I was brought up in a military family, so I know the lingo. I know the gist. I know everything that's going on. You know, Pam didn't have a clue. She had to learn it from the veterans. And she's done an amazing job, and I love her to death for what she's doing. We have to take care of our veterans, bottom line. And that's what this show is all about, taking care of our veterans, taking care of our first responders and those that wear the uniform here at home and around the world. So many different things, so many injuries, so many hidden wounds that we don't even realize until we actually sit down and talk to them. So, but now I have to give you, got to switch gears here, and I have to wind up giving you the major announcement. But first, before I do that, let me give you the commercial that has just been created for the major announcement. Once the commercial's over with, I will go into more depth to let you know what BooksAmedia.com is all about.
Want to sell your book, music, art, and keep the money? Books of Media is a service which helps independent authors promote themselves and their digital media content with one simple procedure. Books of Media will help you set up your shop and maximize your efforts, track your marketing, gain brand recognition, market your product, and attain your goal, selling your stories to readers while making and keeping all the money. Books of Media can help you brand yourself and move your product and keep the profits. Books of Media is there to help you with your social media, public relations, and marketing while you're working on that next project. Do you have a podcast? Books of Media. Radio interviews? Books of Media. This is not a dream. And yes, there is a small charge for joining. $10 a month. That's $120 a year. Your cable bill is probably more than that, and that won't help you sell your product. Books of Media will. If you really want to help yourself succeed, go to booksofmedia.com. Booksofmedia.com. BOOKSAMEDIA. Booksofmedia.com.
That's the commercial for the new company. This is the announcement, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a writer, independent writer, musician, producer, crafter, artisan, if you are a painter, a doll maker, a jewelry maker, anything along that line, booksofmedia.com is going to wind up helping you. As the commercial said, $10 a month, $120 a year. If you, as the creator, do not understand that you personally are the brand. Your brand produces a product. Your product being your book, your audio book, your digital media, your Kindle type of book, your music, if you're an independent musician out there or a band. And you don't have a clue how to do any kind of marketing whatsoever, because that's one of the major problems with independents. They don't have agents. They don't have major publishing houses, major, you know, media houses or musician houses to help you. This has been a project of mine in development, in creating, for 7 years. 5 years of actual physical development, putting together all the pieces to ensure that those of us who are independent of any agency or any organization, we can turn around and wind up helping each other. So here's the plan, ladies and gentlemen. Join forces with booksandmedia.com. When you join, you hit the little button, you go to booksandmedia.com website, you hit the join now button, you will be taken to a registration page. You register for your own shopping cart. What is the difference with this? It actually gives you your own private URL address that you can, if you have an already website created on the internet, you can turn around and wind up putting that URL onto your website, and people can go to directly to your shopping cart. For $120 a year, you get 25 items up on your page. 25 items. You can do Dutch auctions, which, for those that don't know what a Dutch auction is, if it turns out that you have, say, 10 boxes of books sitting in your basement, you're not selling it. You're trying to figure out, what are you going to do? You know, everything that you're doing, you're trying to sell your stuff on Amazon, eBay, Etsy, whatever the case may be, on Facebook or whatever. Guess what? You're putting stuff on those sites. They're not promoting you. Books of Media will. Because guess what? Books of Media knows and learned all the mistakes. Each and every time you put your particular URL out, you're not only advertising yourself, you're also advertising every other independent creative artist who is listed on Books of Media. The entire site has just gone live. Very limited amount of people already on. We're now on Facebook. Books of Media has its own Facebook page, so go look for it. It's connected to everything social media-wise. Every time somebody winds up joining forces with Books of Media, a message will be posted out. Individual people will be invited to come on not only Assignment America radio show, but also possibly a new radio show that will be created in the next few weeks. Have you come on? If you got a book, guess what? We'll have you come on. You'll actually talk about your book, help you get your podcast out there so that you can promote it out to all of your friends, family, and potential fans. Every time Books of Media is blasted out, guess what? You're also having advertising. It's all about branding and product. Many people have asked in the last few weeks, what is the difference? I can put this stuff out no matter what. Well, guess what? You can put your stuff up on Amazon. Amazon's not going to sell any of your products for you. They're not going to promote you out. They're not even going to put you up on the number one list so that they can promote you out to their masses unless you pay them. And when you pay them, you're paying big bucks every month. Books of Media is only charging $10 a month. $10 a month, $120 for the year. Guess what? That's a tax write-off. That's a business expense. If you, as the independent artist, creative artist, do not believe that you are your product, your brand, and you're not running yourself and your business like a business person, that's where you're having the problem, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you're not being successful. Booksandmedia.com wants to make you successful, wants to help you become successful. How are they going to do that? They're going to wind up helping to brand you. They're going to wind up helping to put your information out. $120 a year, that's it. And like the commercial says, your cable company isn't helping to brand you. They're not helping to sell your products. But each and every person on Books of Media will be helping to promote themselves and everyone else on it. It's called a win-win-win theory. You win because it's an independent site. You win because it's a small fee. And you win because you could actually post your stuff out there on Tuesday. And if people buy your products on Tuesday, you know exactly that moment that it happens. Because it's your PayPal account or whatever you set up underneath your shopping cart. majority of people will be using PayPal because PayPal is very trusted. What will happen? Your royalties will come to you. You will not have to wait 3 to 4 months to wind up getting any kind of royalties. And guess what? When you have to wait 3 or 4 months, how do you know? The analytical information behind the scenes doesn't tell you that you posted something out, you spent all day Tuesday posting stuff out, and you didn't sell anything. Then you do it again on Thursday, and guess what? You sell 10, 20, 50 products. Then you know Tuesday's not going to work. Throw something out. It's okay. But Thursday is the kicker. Thursday is the day that people buy, or Sunday people buy, or Friday people buy. You will be able to determine your particular genre of creative marketing, your creativity, your product. You will then be able to determine, okay, I need to do this on Thursday. I need to do this on Sunday. I don't have the time to do it every day. I want to create Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. So Thursday and Sunday is the days that you sit back and you do your marketing. You market it out to your friends. You tell people. You let people know. You put up your shopping cart URL on Facebook, on Twitter, on Google+. You're also letting your fan base know they can now get your products. Now, all the other websites that I mentioned before, you know, Amazon, eBay, Etsy, they all charge a fee every month, which sometimes can be substantial. I know, because I've had stuff up on each one of them, and it doesn't pay to be there. Honestly, Books and Media is designed so that you make the money, not the company. $10 a month of an investment into yourself, you have to determine as to whether or not are you worthy enough to be invested in at a small fee. It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. Booksandmedia.com is hoping to God that you will come and join with them. I know, I'm the founder and CEO. The team that's being put together or has been put together are SEO experts, design experts, producers, directors, the social media, Twitter people. They're all standing by, ready to rock and roll to help promote you out, to help promote Books and Media out. Go to the main page. Go look around. Books and Media was originally concepted for specifically books, music, and independent movies. Well, guess what? We know. I know, because I do books. I also write movie scripts. But I'm also an artist now. I'm doing paintings. I'm doing watercolors. I'm doing acrylics. I've got friends that are musicians. Their wives make jewelry. Friends of mine that just make dolls. Each and every one of these people have complained over the years, my website is expensive. I've got the website presence, but I don't have a clue how to brand myself. I don't have a clue about this Twitter and all the social media and all this other stuff. It's confusing. It's frustrating. All I want to do is make my products. Well, you want to make your products. That's great because it's a stress reliever. I know. But honestly, you learn by your mistakes. And the team at Books and Media has learned those mistakes. We've counteracted those mistakes. We're not only wanting to help ourselves, we want to help you. I encourage you. I am hoping that you will join forces because guess what? If we make a big deal with this and we wind up helping to promote this with each other, on board, selling our products, selling our ideas, we actually get to interact with each other. The shopping cart is amazing. I mean, literally, every single concept, every little nuance, every thought process has been put into this project. And I am very, very, very happy and pleased to have had a webmaster by the name of Jim who has just been phenomenal in putting my dream and my five to seven years worth of conception, problems, frustrations, putting it all together into one simple, easy-to-navigate program. Jim, I love you dearly. You are a godsend and an angel to me. I'm hoping that everyone out there will join forces with us. Come on board. Let us help you because I'm really excited about it. I'm actually building my own shopping cart here last night and today, trying to get it all put together. The commercial, thanks to voiceover by Lee, put the commercial together for us. Everything is falling into place so much, so quickly, so fast. I'm not only excited, I'm nervous, because it's like a new baby being born. We're hoping you join forces with us. Go look at the website, booksamedia.com, all one word, booksamedia.com. Go check it out. Go check out the Join Now button. It's on every page, a couple of times each page. Hit the button. Go check it out. If you're a nonprofit, I encourage you. One of the things that we designed for Books of Media shopping cart, free. Nonprofits can sign up for free. 5 items. You can auction them off. You get the money. It goes directly to you. You can market it. You can wind up changing, and we'll help you with it. That's part of my philanthropy back to you. I love my nonprofits. I want to help my nonprofits succeed. I want you to have the branding, the promotion. You have items that you wish to wind up auctioning off or even to sell. You get 5 items for free, ladies and gentlemen. I'm encouraging each and every one of my nonprofits, look at this, check into it, sign up. You will have to have your 501c3 number, tax ID number, to have a free tax, a nonprofit free account. I will help you. I will even reach out to you once you wind up signing up and see what we can do to help you. I'll be more than happy to do anything I can to help your nonprofit succeed. Just remember, ladies and gentlemen, there will be a caveat to this. We are not allowing any kind of human trafficking. We are not allowing any kind of drug, firearm, paraphernalia, anything like that. Nothing illegal. It is going to be strictly, strictly above board. We're not going to wind up allowing any kind of tainting to booksamedia.com. The team is going to be very, very cautious in that. And it's actually in our terms and conditions because of that. Be sure to read those, especially when you're signing up. Make sure that you agree to all of them, because it is very important that every single artisan that is on the site maintains the reputation, the honor, the dignity, and the integrity of being an artist. We want to make sure that every single person feels comfortable and also feels happy to be a member of booksamedia.com. I'm crossing my fingers that this goes well. Please help us promote it out. We now have a Facebook page. Please go out and check it out. It just went live just before the show. So please like us, help us bring our numbers up, and we'll go from there. We're hoping for success. That's the major announcement, ladies and gentlemen. And from now on, booksamedia.com will be a sponsor to this radio show. If any other radio show out there wishes to use our commercial, please contact us. We'll be more than happy to let you share it out with your listeners. I'm wrapping up now, ladies and gentlemen. For all those out there wearing the uniform of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and Merchant Marines, every day you put your uniform on. You make this humble American proud to be an American. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for wearing that uniform. You've sacrificed a lot. You've done a lot. You protect freedom. You protect the Constitution. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. For all first responders out there, keep doing what you're doing. Be safe. Know that you've always got a place in my heart. And I will do everything I can to protect you, defend you. Just make sure that you stay within the law. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Assignment America Radio Show. I'm your host, Betty Kilbride. Feel free to contact us on our Facebook page under Elizabeth Kilbride or under Twitter, everything else. We're connected to everything. Look for us. Communicate with us. Tell us what you think. God bless America, and God bless each and every one of you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you all next week.